I'm just going to use the pulpit. Well, what you just heard from these teenagers. We've been over there each Wednesday night teaching them about soul winning. And the pastor liked it so good. He said, I want the whole church to hear it. So, here I am. We're going to teach you basically what we've been teaching them starting next week. This week we're going to back up and we're going to look at the Great Commission, missions, laying the foundation for why we go, why do we need to go soul winning? What is soul winning? What does the Bible say about missions? And so we're going to look at that part tonight. Next Wednesday we're going to zoom in on what you heard from the teenagers, that we'll start looking at practical ways to go soul winning, give you some tips, Bible verses, and some hopefully some tools that'll help you. So let's go soul winning. As you've heard it quoted already, Proverbs 11:30, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And here it is, he that winneth souls is wise. Do you want to be wise? This summer, we taught lessons on to the teens and how to be the witness, and I am so proud of them. So not only did they soak it in each week, and they really had a desire to learn. They really did. And then when we challenged them to actually go out in the community, at first, some of them, as you heard in the skit, they were a little nervous, but they all went. Not one stayed behind. They all went. And not only did they all go, but then they didn't want to come back. They wanted to go down more streets. And it's like, we got to call it a night here. And then they said, when can we go again? And they really loved it. So at the end of the classes, we did that, and the pastor also wants our church to be involved in doing the same thing at the end of, in about 3 weeks from now, or a couple weeks from now. He wants us to actually go out on a Wednesday night and just knock on some doors, give out some brochures, invite people to church. And again, next week, we'll get more into that practicality phase of it. But we're going to back up tonight and go back to September is Missions Emphasis Month, as you see on our banners over here. The pastor asked me to not only teach about soul winning, but to include missions emphasis and teach about missions. So we're going to do that. And then to ask the question is, why should I be concerned with missions? Why should I be concerned with soul winning? Well, that's what we're going to zoom in on tonight. Number one, Jesus is concerned with missions. And Jesus is concerned with winning the lost. His love for lost souls is the reason he left the portals of heaven and came to this earth. The Bible tells us in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. His mission from heaven was to come to earth and win souls. Number two, not only is Jesus concerned with missions and winning souls, but number two, God commands us to go. After God saved us, why did he leave us here? I've asked that question to some people. Why did God leave us here after he saved us? Some of the answers I got was, well, he left us here to worship him, but couldn't we worship him better in heaven? He left us here to be his spokesperson, his ambassador, his soul winner. He left us here to proclaim the gospel and to tell others about him. We find the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. Turn there with me, if you will. I want you to turn to these great commissions because I'd like for you to look at them and read them with me. one of the great commissions, and I'll explain that in just a minute. But the great and the important command from God is the commission to us from God. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go ye," that's you. No, don't look at your neighbor, that's you and me. "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo," there's a promise, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. These Bible verses and many others are written to us that are saved, to believers. And it describes God's program, and it describes God's plan for winning the lost. It's our responsibility as Christians to go, to teach, to baptize all nations. Now, statistics say that there's at least two people every minute somewhere in the world dies. So try to picture a world globe. You got heaven above and hell below, and two people in the world every minute dying. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands dropping off into hell. Most of them without a gospel witness. We need to warn them. Turn with me, if you will, Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Look down at verse 18. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not the warning," in other words, we don't warn them, "nor speak it to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, his sin. But his blood will I require at thine hand." And Packard language is like, well, if we don't go tell them, if God lays it on our heart to tell somebody and we don't do it, "Oh, I'm too shy, I'm too scared. What are they going to think about me?" The blood is on our hand. Verse 19, "Yet if thou warn the wicked," you do tell him, "and he turn not from his wickedness," you just handed him a track, you just told him about the Lord, and he completely ignored you or threw the track in the trash can, and that's going to happen. But it says, "If thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity," he'll die in his sin, "but thou hast delivered thy soul." It's our responsibility to warn them. It's our responsibility to tell them. And whether they get saved or not, it's between them and the Holy Ghost. We can't save anybody. We can present the gospel. We can present the love of Jesus. And then it's up to them. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But at least we've done our part. But if we don't tell them, and they die and go to hell without a gospel witness, and you know the Lord has laid it on your heart to do that, and you didn't, then we'll have to give an account for that. The commission to get the gospel to the world is in all four of the Gospels. When I said a while ago, one of the great commissions, there's actually a great commission in each of the four Gospels, as well as the book of Acts. We're going to look at those, and I actually want you to turn there with me, if you don't mind, as we go through them. We've already looked at Matthew 28. Turn with me, if you will, Mark 16, 15. Now, some people write in their Bibles or highlights their Bibles. If you want to put a little star or whatever in your margin, to note that this is the Great Commission. Mark 16:15, if you look at the front of the church, you'll see the verse on our banner over here. Or at least you'll see part of the verse. The entire verse says, "And he said unto them, Go ye," there we are, not go preacher, not go teacher, go ye. Go ye into all the world. Well, how can you do that? Well, we're going to look at that too. And preach the gospel to every creature. Turn with me to Luke 24. So we've looked at Matthew and Mark. Turn with me to Luke 24. Jump down to verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I'll have more to say about that in just a minute. Matthew, Mark, Luke, let's jump over to John, the Gospel of John. Go down to chapter 20. Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me," here it is, "even so send I you." Jesus has said, "I left the portals of heaven. The Father sent me. And now I'm sending you. I'm sending you." It's a command. It's a commission. Now look over, and we're going to zoom in on some of this. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Go down to verse 8. The pastor alluded to this a while ago. We're going to zoom in on it a little more. "But ye shall receive power." Now, this is Jesus talking. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He's going back to heaven now, and he says when he goes back to heaven, he's sending the Holy Ghost. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me," and there's that word the pastor was emphasizing, "ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So God's message to the world is the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The good news that God loves them, paid their sin debt, so they can be saved, and so they can go to heaven. You don't have to turn here, but 1 Kings 8:60. "That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else." None else. Some have asked, why should we send missionaries around the world when we got so many people right here at home that need to be saved? I've heard other people ask, well, why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everyone has heard the gospel at least once? That's some questions to ponder, isn't it? Acts 1:8 says that we just read, it says to be witnesses, both, there's that word both, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. That word both means both at the same time. We're to witness here, we're to witness there. It's simultaneously. We're to be witnesses in our Jerusalem. Well, Brother Tommy, do we all pack up, get on a plane, go to Israel? stop off in Jerusalem and we start there? No, that's not what it's referring to. Their Jerusalem is where they were living. Our Jerusalem is where we're living. Our Jerusalem is right here in Packard and the surrounding areas. Maybe you live in Jonesville or Gaffney or Spartanburg or wherever. That's your Jerusalem. That's where we need to be witnessing. And then it says, and in our Judea. Our Judea is our country. The good old United States of America. We need to be witnessing to our nation. And then it says in Samaria. Now Samaria is outside the United States. We're branching out now. We're going to other countries. Europe, Asia, Mexico, Africa, Canada. We're to spread out. And then that last part says, unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's the regions beyond. That's down there where you see on the National Geographic where the tribal people are. They're still maybe running around with bones in their nose. Living out in the villages and woods and mountains. Yes, they need the gospel. Yes, they need the gospel. Even the uncivilized places. And then we place a lot of importance on someone's last words. If someone is dying and you're in their presence and they give you their last words, that means a lot. You want to do everything you can to try to honor those last words. It's interesting that in Acts 1:8 was the last words of Jesus Christ before he ascended back to heaven. So what was his last words? The command for us to go witness. If you're still there in 1:8, let's look at 1:9, the next verse. Right after he says in 1:8 that we need to go there, Jerusalem, we need to go there, Samaria, all over the world. As soon as he said, you need to go, you need to be witnesses, as soon as he said that, look at verse 9. And when he has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. After his last words were spoken, he ascended back to heaven. Also, God attached a promise to each of the great commissions or commandments for us to go. He promised that he would be with us as we go. And we're going to look at this next week about one of the first things we need to do before we go is pray. And asked him to be with us. He promises to protect us. He promises to give us power from on high. He promises to give us peace, knowing that we're doing his perfect will. But God never asked us to do anything or to do something without giving us power and provisions and what we need to do and what we need to do what he's called us to do. Jesus had a burden for the lost. His burden was so heavy, he came to earth, wrapped himself in flesh to pay our sin debt for the lost. He instructed his disciples to pray for laborers. We should be praying for laborers. Turn over back, if you will, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then he gives us command, a commission right here. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. It's obvious that not everyone is called to go all across the world. But all saved people are called to be involved in missions. We are all called to be a part of winning souls. Jesus had that great burden for the lost. How about you? Do you have a burden for lost people? Do you take it seriously, or you ever even think about there's people dropping off into hell and we're not doing anything to tell them or warn them? Is that something you ever even think about? I'm guilty. Most of the time, I'm not thinking about it. I need to be thinking about it more. I have actually been praying, Lord, give me a greater burden. Give me a greater burden. Do you seriously want to be a gospel witness? Are you praying that God will send laborers? But then, let me ask this question. Are you willing to be a laborer? We're asking the Lord to send laborers into the harvest. Lord, send people to them so they hear the gospel and get saved. But are we willing to be a laborer? We should ask ourselves this question. If everyone in the church was just like me, what kind of church would it be? If salvation of lost people in the world depended on my burden and how I respond to the Great Commission, I wonder how many souls would be in heaven and how many would be in hell. Well, the truth is, salvation of others does depend on you and me, because that is God's plan. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in verse 14 it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Maybe God is calling you. Maybe he's calling you to be a missionary and go to a foreign field. Brother Alex says that God called him to go to Iceland. Maybe he's calling you. Maybe God's not calling you. Maybe God wants you right where you're at. But if he's not calling you to go across the world, he is wanting you to go across the street. He is wanting you to tell your neighbor, your coworker, your friends, your family. And for them that will go across the world, the least we can do is pray for them. That's why we have a missions program. That's why we have a lighthouse. Draw a missionary out every week and pray for that missionary every day. Henry Varley, a friend of D.L. Moody, most people's heard of D.L. Moody, he's one of the greatest soul winners that's went down in history. A friend of D.L. Moody once said, it is yet to be seen what God will do with a man, and that applies also to a woman, mankind, who is totally surrendered to God. It's yet to be seen what God would do with someone totally surrendered. It was said D.L. Moody heard that statement and said, I will be that man. I will be that man. Now, D.L. Moody was not a perfect man. He was not a sinless man, but he was a surrendered man. And all these years later, he is remembered for how God used him to win souls throughout history. The only power D.L. Moody or any other person has is the power that God gives us. And he does not give us power arbitrarily. He gives it based on conditions that are laid out clearly in God's word. How do you get that power? Number one, prayer. You're not going to get power if you never pray. If we want to have God's power on us, we must pray, and we must ask others to even pray for us and help us pray. And not just words, but pray believing with fervency. I truly believe there's a lack of fervent prayer in our lives. Number two, we need a deep practical study of the Bible. We have a missions program to help send missionaries who are willing to go across the world. We support them financially. We support them prayerfully. I hope you're involved in missions. If you're not, we got a missions conference coming up in a couple of weeks. I challenge you, pray. Lord, what would you have me to do to help these missionaries? What would you have me to do, Lord? We need to support missionaries. We need to be involved in worldwide missions. As we go into our Jerusalem, as we go into our Packlet, as our Calpians, our Spartanburg, our Union, our Jonesville, at the same time, we can be helping others go to all of these other countries and around the world and fulfilling or helping to fulfill the Great Commission. So the question is are you praying? Are you witnessing? Are you giving to help others go? Thank God those who came before us did a good job. Someone got us the gospel. Someone got it to us. If you're saved this morning or this tonight, you've heard the gospel. Well, Brother Tommy, I've never heard the gospel. Well, there's an altar down here. Need to get born again if you never heard the gospel. And the Bible had a lot to say about preaching. We're going to zoom in on that a little more too. But it's God's plan for us to go and for us to labor and for us to send others. We need to get involved in winning souls and worldwide missions. Don't let others carry your load. Well, if I don't give, somebody else will give. If I don't go, somebody else will go. Well, you don't want to face the Lord with that attitude. You want to face the Lord saying, Lord, I know I wasn't perfect, but I strived to obey your command. I strive, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done. Here it is, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to face, if you're a born-again believer, you're going to face the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to give an account, not for your sin. Christ has already paid for that. We're going to give an account on what we did after we were saved, what we did as a Christian, whether it be good or bad. Our good works are going to earn rewards. I believe it's going to even be handed out at the millennium, the thousand-year reign. We'll be studying that in Revelation in Sunday school. And it also says that it'll burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. Our bad. Our works. Think about facing the Lord one day. I know we're all going to fall on our face and wish we would have done more. No matter how much we do, we're going to wish we would have done more. But apart from being saved, winning others to Christ is one of the greatest things we can do and one of the greatest things we are commanded to do. Now, a lot of people here, where I was about to get to a while ago, when we read all the great commissions, it says, preach the gospel. Yeah, I know some of you say, well, that leaves me out. I'm not a called preacher, right? That gets me off the hook. No, it don't get us off the hook. Not at all. The word preach there in these great commissions means to proclaim the gospel. Proclaim. Preach. Proclaim the gospel. And it's not, as the little skit indicated, it's not just the preachers, it's not just the deacons, it's not just the teachers, it's not just the leaders. Preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, is the responsibility of every born-again believer. Those great commissions apply to you and me. Now, there are preachers like our pastor, couple here on the front row, that God put a hand on and called them to preach and sanctified them, set them apart to preach. But we're all to be priests and kings and proclaim the gospel. All of us. All of us. The Bible clearly teaches that all saved people are responsible to witness and win others. If you're old enough to be saved, you're old enough to win others. We never get too old to win others to Christ. The heartbeat of God is to save souls. Luke 19:10, again, we've already read it. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, was lost. Not many people willing to be used of God to win souls. But we should have the heart and the mind of Christ. If we're going to call ourselves a Christian, you do know there's born again and people, saved people, that are not Christians. Brother Tommy, whoa, back up. What do you mean by that? Well, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. I'm not saying at all that you're going to lose your salvation. If you're saved, if you're born again biblically, you'll go to heaven. But to be a Christian means you got to be Christ-like. And all Christians are not Christ-like. Well, all saved people are not Christ-like. All Christians should be Christ-like. All saved people are not Christ-like. So if we want to have the heart and mind of Christ and be Christ-like, then we'll want to have the burden that he had for others. God can and will use you. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to win souls. You need to be available and usable. Many people think that the lost will be saved by hearing the preacher preach at church. And many people are. But it's said that most people are saved by personal one-on-one soul winning. I'll use D.L. Moody again. He said if he had to choose between public preaching or one-on-one personal soul winning, he would choose the personal one-on-one soul winning. Of course, we don't have to choose. God uses both preaching and personal soul winning to win souls. But D.L. Moody's point was more people are saved by the one-on-one. Many people are saved by hearing a message from the preacher at church. But think about it. A lot of the lost people don't come to church. They never come to church. So how are they going to hear the preacher preach if they don't come to church? If we wait for people to come to church, they may never get saved and never hear the gospel. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, again, go ye into all the world and preach, proclaim the gospel to every creature. Proclaim, to publish, to declare. God commands all of us to go and tell. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The Lord wants his house full. He wants it full. The Lord, it's not good that we look out and see a whole sea of empty pews. He wants it full. He wants his house full. We need to compel them. Compel them to come in. And then how are they here if we never tell them? God would, you know, he could have chosen a lot of different ways for people to get saved. He could have wrote it in the sky. He could have sent angels. But he uses us. We should consider that an honor and a privilege that he would use us, that he would count on us, that he would put that one of the most important responsibilities he has on us. So God's plan for salvation is for us to tell them. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. Preaching to a lost person is foolishness. They don't understand. But it's our responsibility to preach, proclaim. It's not our responsibility to save. Only God can do that. When I read the missionaries' letters, and I get them on my phone, if you're not getting the missionary prayer letters, tell Myra to give her your email address. Our 50 missionaries are sending prayer letters all the time. And when she gets them, she forwards them to the church. If you're not getting those missionary prayer letters, tell Myra to put you on the email list. And then as these missionary prayer letters come in, you get them on your phone. And then you can read them at your own convenience, right? And then while you're reading it, it'd be a good time to pray for them. But if you're saved, someone told you the gospel. So did you let it stop there, or did you tell somebody else? Or will you tell somebody else? The word power in Romans 1:16 comes from the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. I heard a preacher say one time, he says, I love to just give them the gospel. And he said, it's like sticking a stick of dynamite in their heart and lighting the fuse and boom, and just see the gospel explode in their heart. He said, there's no better feeling. Now, I'm imitating Dr. McAfee. He's the one that taught me that. He loved the gospel. He loved winning souls. Next week, that was sort of a background on why we need to be a witness. Next week, I'm going to go into a lot of practical steps. marking your Bibles on some good verses to, if you have ever have a chance to lead someone to the Lord or someone wants to know more about how to be saved, next week we're going to go through all that. And we'll give you a lot of practical tips, show you a lot of scripture in the Bible that you'll be able to mark. And hopefully you'll get a burden for lost souls and you'll be able to use it and even reap some fruit from it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for leaving the portals of heaven and, Lord, coming to earth and to win souls, to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, as others told us, help us to go tell others. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's come out tonight. I pray, Lord, that you spoke to our hearts in such a way, Lord, that we'll want to have the heart and mind of Christ, and to the point that we want to tell others about you. Thank you for our teenagers. Thank you, Lord, for what they've learned through these classes and how excited they were. And Lord, thank you for our youth program. Thank you for our church. Lord, may your hand of the blessing be upon it. And Lord, be with us as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe. Touch these, Lord, that are sick. Touch these that are still healing from their sickness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.